From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of From the Pavilion. Yes, August is CCA Cup Finals month, and it's the fourth and final CCA Cup Final that we're bringing you today, the Invitation Cup Final between Godolphin and Sawsnham Babraham 2. Sawsnham Babraham 2's potentially on for the treble. Skipper Nick Griggs is in the studio to discuss it. Not a good weekend for our EAPL sides. All three of them lost on the weekend. The less said probably about that, the better. We're speaking to Burnley Lexington's Sam Rippington on the phone. He'll also be telling us a little bit about Cams because he managed to get a fifer over the course of the last few days as Cambridgeshire beat Northumberland by 50 runs. Josh Smith also featured heavily for Cambridgeshire over the last few days. Maiden ton for him and four wickets. He'll be joining us on the phone during the show later on to talk to us about his good performances, and he's going to take on the quiz this evening. He said his cricketing knowledge is not very good, but he's not got a lot to come up against so far. We'll also be previewing the third Ashes test between England and Australia at Headingley. The Aussies lead 1-0 currently, and Joe Root has a message for his side because Steve Smith, of course, will be absent. We'll also be chatting county cricket, a bit about the Blast and also the county championship as the title race hotted up today. Both Essex and Somerset winning over the last couple of days, and also the schedules have been announced for the cricketing summit next year too. But first, let's start with the local cricket and with the CCA Cup Finals. As I said at the top of the show, the last of the four CCA Finals. We've had the Walker Cup, we've had the Lower Junior Cup, we've had the Junior Cup, and now on to the Invitation Cup Final. The most prestigious, apparently, is the Invitation Cup Final, and the two teams contesting it this year is Godolphin Cricket Club First Team and Sawsnham Babraham 2s, a name we keep hearing when we talk about these Cup Finals. Your club, Callum, firstly, good afternoon, and doing pretty well.
Yeah, no, doing very well. The Freeze obviously won at the weekend, which was fantastic for the club. And now, as Greg will say, hopefully the twos can repeat it as well.
Just more pressure on you guys to deliver the main title then, I guess.
Yeah, that's also happening up a bit as well. And hopefully the lads will keep putting performances each week. So hopefully we can get over the line come next time I'm on the radio, actually.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. Won't say anything too prematurely, as of course it is on radio, and don't want me to, I guess, scoop up the clip and then play it next week if anything goes wrong. Yeah. But Nick, welcome to the show, skipper of Sawsnham Babraham 2s. How are you feeling ahead of the Invitation Cup Final on the weekend?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously played Godolphin a couple of weeks ago in the T20 Finals, so know a bit about what they're about. Looking forward to it. Obviously we've got a wedding Saturday night, so we could have some sore heads Sunday morning. But yeah, we're all looking forward to it. Should be a good day.
And have you got a fixture as well on Saturday as well?
Yeah, so we're playing Saturday. So again, we've lost a few players, but looking forward to it. Saturday, we've got a good game. If we get, I think we get more than 3 points, we've got promoted. Mm-hmm. So get that out of the way, and then obviously the cup final on Sunday. So it could be a good weekend.
Yeah, the title race between yourselves and Bluntsham, I guess it's really been only between you two, and Bluntsham's promotion has been confirmed as well. A game in hand on them, just 2 points behind, so you'd probably expect to clinch the title there as well. But the cup form at all, and all these cup competitions that you've been in, has not had any impact on your league form at all?
No, I think I said a couple of weeks ago, really, that our main focus was the league. The cups have been an absolute joy to play in, and it's been an absolute bonus as well. Like, we've done so well. We've played teams higher than us in most rounds of the competition, so it's always a bonus to play, and always good to win them. I think it's a while since the club have been in an Invitation Cup final, if I'm honest. So as you said, it's a prestigious competition. It'd be nice to finally get over the line.
Yeah, you mentioned previous cup finals. Let's just update you on what happened last weekend then, the Junior Cup final between Linton Village and Takeley Cricket Club. Well, Linton Village won the toss and elected to bat first. They put a below par total of 162 for 7 on the board from their 40 overs. Takeley chased it down in 29 overs for the loss of 3 wickets. So congratulations to them, the Junior Cup winners there. Taking the title off Coton, of course, who won it last year. But the Invitation Cup final this weekend. You mentioned, Nick, that, like you said, you'd already played Godolphin already in the T20 Walker Cup final in the finals day. Beat those guys to it. Is there anything, I guess, you can learn from that? Obviously, different formats, I guess.
It is different formats. I think the thing with Godolphin, they've got an awful lot of players registered for the club, so you're never really sure who they're going to have on the day. But having played against them before, we can recognise a few players. They've had a couple of really decent players. They're top of Senior One at the moment in the 45-over format, so it will be a bit tougher, I think. But, I mean, on paper, I think our team's probably Senior One level anyway, so it'll be a good level to see where we're at.
Yeah, I guess this, as well as obviously a chance to get a trophy, this for you guys is probably, like you said, a real leveller to see where you guys, what level you are at, sorry. Because I think, obviously, you were sort of told me before that you were perhaps looking to get bumped up another league last year because you felt that you could play above your level, and you've proven that this year, going on to looking like to win Senior League Division 3. And obviously, Godolphin top of Senior 1, so a real challenge not only in the final on the weekend but to prove to you guys where I guess you hopefully would like to end up.
Yeah, definitely. It's always nice for us to challenge ourselves against better teams. There's a few lads, like I said before, that have played at a good level of cricket. And for us, sometimes it's been a little bit frustrating this year against the teams we played. It's hard not to get complacent. But games like this, we can't really be complacent, and it'll be a good test for us. So, I mean, if we beat these this weekend, it shows that we are at a good level. And obviously proves to other teams who maybe we come across as a little bit arrogant, but it may come like if we beat them, it shows that we should be at that level.
Yeah, and who do you reckon are favourites? Because obviously we just mentioned Godolphin top of Senior 1, first in the division, you guys second, most likely to be top of Senior 3 as well, but you guys got one over them in the T20s.
I'd say if we didn't have a wedding Saturday night, we would be favourites. But a 12:30 start on a Sunday after what probably could be a heavy evening the night before, I'd probably say Godolphin would be favourites.
And, yeah, interesting to see. Well, yeah, it must be... Attention's probably firmly on the wedding on Saturday night, but yeah, also with slight sort of concentration on Sunday as well. Mm. You mentioned complacency there. How have you managed to avoid that? Because obviously the first team doing so well, bringing in a number of players, and then I guess some of the players then filter down, it improves the whole club. Then you say, like you said, you're aware, I guess, that you probably should be playing at a higher level. How do you stop making that creep into your minds every week?
I think within the team there's a real desire to play at a higher level with the twos, so it's been a real like cohesive unit in a sense that we all want to be playing for the club at a higher level. The first team have been pretty consistent in the team selection. So it hasn't really affected us. And when they have chosen players from us, it's really been picking like a best fielder, because they're not really going to battle bowl for the first team. So we're not really losing anything in that sense. But yeah, as I said, I mean, we all want to play at a high level. And the only way we're going to be able to get to that level is by just winning games. We're trying to win every week, getting to a situation where we can go up for promotion year after year.
And having spoken to Dan Heath, skipper of the first team as well, there is a desire from his perspective as, I guess, club captain, I imagine from your perspective as well, to get the second team closer to the first team. Has that then added pressure on this season? Because down in Senior 3, the first team likely to possibly have a chance of playing EAPL cricket next season. Has there been an added pressure to get up to then bring the gap close together?
I think there has been a little bit of pressure. I think the strengthening of our twos this year has really helped. I think possibly with this, don't want to meet harsh on the boys last year, but there wasn't as much experience in the team that probably won Junior One last year. So with a few lads like myself, like Mark, who'd come down from the ones last year, really understand that the difference in level was so big. It's just really trying to stop that gap.
Yeah, Godolphin, your opponents on the weekend, top of Senior League Division 1, as we said. Unfortunately, couldn't get hold of anyone from them tonight, but played 16, 1-12, lost the 3, one game cancelled, probably due to some poor weather in the British summer, but storming Senior 1 with 264 points. The next closest is Marchtown with 216 points, so definitely on form. Where will the game be won and lost on the weekend, Nick?
I think our bowling, if I'm honest. I mean, we've played, 13, 14 games this season, and I don't think we've bowled that many teams out. I reckon our batting's pretty strong. Our batting is probably at a senior one, Tucker two level. Our bowling is probably senior two. I think we it's not that we don't have the ability. I think we don't apply ourselves as much. And it's just concentration. As I said, the wedding Saturday night isn't going to help. But it's really just trying to forget about that on the day, and just concentrating. I think if we play to our ability, we win the game. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I was going to say, is this game a case of if you guys turn up and you play to the best of your ability, you win?
I think so. With the players that we've been able to select, as you can imagine, everyone made themselves available for a cup final. So selection was an issue. But as I said, I think if we play to our ability, if we're 90% to our ability, I think we win the game.
And as I said at the top of the show, it will be the third trophy, potentially the third trophy the Twos have won this year, assuming you go on to win the league, of course, a game in hand on Bluntsham and only 2 points or 3 points behind them. Already won the T20 Walker Cup as well. Not a bad season, that, is it? 3 trophies in the cabinet?
I don't think we could have asked for any more. And obviously, we want the Ones to win their league as well, so anything we can do to help them out, it'd be superb for the club. I don't think the club could have asked any more of us, really.
And I guess then going into next season with all these, like I said, trophies in the cabinet, what does that add then? Is there an added dimension when you go and play teams that they desperately want to beat you because they obviously see and they're aware that the whole club at Sawston Bay Abraham are doing so well?
I think we've had it this year where it's gone either way. Like, some teams we turn up and they've lost before we've even started playing, which is a little bit frustrating. It's a bit demoralising. But then we play teams like Bluntisham where it's always been quite competitive. And the top half of the league always want to beat us. I mean, it's probably a little bit of jealousy from the clubs around. I don't know. It's hard to see that another club's being really successful. But it is what it is. We can't. I mean, there's not more we can do, really. We can just turn up and play.
Mm. So. And is there any chance of a cup win on Sunday having any sort of negative impact on the rest of the league season or any impact at all? Or will it just be all positive, just continue that momentum going?
I think it will just continue the momentum. I think as a second team, we've probably lost 3 games in the last 2 years, including cups, which is a massive bonus. I don't think if we were to lose this final, it would make much of a difference to our season. I still think we want to win the league. That was our main aim, that we're still on for that, and this is just an added bonus.
Well, all the best for the weekend.
Thank you.
Sawston Bay Abraham Twos come up against Godolphin. 12:30 start Sunday, the 25th of August. The most prestigious CCA Cup competition, the Invitation Cup final, gets away at Spicer's Sports Ground.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Listen to From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio. Moving on now and rounding up our EAPL sides, and we'll start with Burwell and Exing this evening. They took on Swarston on the weekend and lost by 6 wickets, 202 all out, and Swarston chased it down in 36 overs for the loss of 4 wickets. I'm delighted to say that Sam Rippington joins us on the line now. Are you there, Sam?
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. You?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
Good. Let's start with a positive, actually. I didn't want to mention it, but you know, I'll blow your trumpet for you. A good day for you, and well, a good few days actually for Cambridgeshire, picking up a fifer in the 50-run win over Northumberland.
Yeah, it's been a good few days actually. I mean, one win and one loss. Not what we wanted personally. Had a good weekend. Yeah, it's been nice. Long time coming.
Am I right in thinking as well, seeing on Twitter, it was your first fifer for Cambridgeshire?
Yeah, the Hoodoos finally over. Played for 6 years and never got a fifer. I think I had 7 or 8 fourfers and never managed to get across the line. So it was a bit of a running joke when I got to fourfer again that I was going to get there. But luckily I did this time.
I was going to say, I'm sure you've been playing for about 40 years. So you must have won.
Yeah, I've been playing for a long time.
He's more gutted he's lost his record. He had the most minor counties fourfers, he was telling us, and now he's lost that record. But you're more impressed with your 50 on the Saturday, aren't you?
Yeah, I was more happy with my 50, I think. I prefer when I get runs all night. We always nice to get 50 on a Saturday, definitely. So.
Going on to that game, mate, obviously it was a difficult loss on the weekend to a very good Swarton side. How would you sum it up? Just not enough runs?
Yeah, I just think we got off to a bit of a poor start, really, with the bat. Said at the beginning of the day, we said we needed to bat deep to save wickets, and we didn't do that, and we haven't done that in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So I kind of batted first a lot and got ourselves in trouble early, and once you're in that position, you're always fighting, losing battle, really, to get back in the game.
It's one of those, isn't it? Obviously, it was a fantastic fight back, obviously, with yourself getting 50-odd and another lad at 9 or 10 getting 37. Obviously, to get yourselves up to 202, but it just probably wasn't enough at the halfway stage. Did you think it was still under par?
Yeah, it's always under par, that, against Swarston. You really look to be running more than 250. I think if you get 250, you're in the game, because runs on board is always a bit scoreboard pressure. But I probably needed more than that. They've got a ridiculously good batting lineup. Especially setting, you've got to go massive because they come so hard and they've got so many players down the order as well that can just keep going and going and going.
Is there an argument?
They can almost chase anything.
Is there an argument with that coming up this week? And obviously you've got Berry. Is there an argument to say that probably you could bowl first and, you know, chase whatever's being set?
Yeah, we've been pretty poor with the bat the last few weeks. Certainly when we've been setting a total. I think it would probably be a good option for us because it would keep us in the game a bit more. If they get a big score, there's every chance we can chase it down. Whereas if we bat first and we're 5-6 down again cheaply, then you're almost out of the game. So we certainly probably look to bowl first on Saturday, I should think.
And obviously there's an old face coming up against this weekend with Ben Seabrook and his brother. Have you got any plans for him and how that's, you know, any game plan?
Not really. It'd be a weird one actually playing against Ben. Played a lot of cricket with him. So yeah, I've certainly got a couple of plans for look at how we get him out. Probably don't give him too much chirp. Probably stay pretty quiet. It'd be a bit strange for him. So, but it'd certainly be interesting to play against him. I haven't played any cricket against him, so it'll be interesting to see how he bats.
Mate, good luck this weekend, and hopefully you can get back to winning ways.
It's fine. Thanks. Cheers, Kirsty.
Bye.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, mate. Congrats on the air. Congrats on the 50. Congrats on the 5 for your genuine all-rounder now.
Thanks, buddy. Cheers. Take care, guys.
Sam Rifton there, Burn Lexing all-rounder, talking to us on the phone after their loss to Swarston last Saturday, also part of Cambridgeshire's 50-run win over Northumberland, which we'll be talking a bit more about that next with Josh Smith.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yeah, so we're talking to Josh Smith in just a bit, but Callum, firstly on Cambridgeshire, pretty good win for you guys, and I imagine that's probably secured your top 5 spot, which you were desperate for at the start of the season.
Yeah, I think that's taken us to third in the division. So obviously, with it being split at the end of the season to a Division 1 and a Division 2 in the East, I think that pretty much secures that. It was just nice for us to score some first innings runs. I think it's one of the first times, I think Yogi said it's about the first time in 10 years that we scored over 400. So, no, it sets the rest of the game up, really, if you get a big total first innings.
I was going to say, without being rude, it's been rare this season that you've seen two guys at the top of the order, at Waxhausen and then Josh Smith getting tons and I guess then getting a really big total, and then the rest of the game sort of falls into place then because of scoreboard pressure.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We actually lost the toss as well, which I think they said they had about 65 millimetres of rain in about 3-4 days up there. So you can imagine the pitch was green, so obviously fair play for them to win in the toss and putting us in. But no, it's really good to get in at lunch, obviously not losing a wicket, and it set the rest of the innings up for us, you know, middle order players to come in and be a bit more positive. And obviously at the end of day one, I think we had 400 on the board and Adam 64 for 4, and probably unlucky not to say one or two more. So no, it's a fantastic start.
Yeah, it was a very good match for you guys. For, as I said, won by 50 runs and 401 on the board in the first innings. A man who got 101 of those, 401, is Josh Smith, and he joins us on the phone now. Hi, Josh.
Hiya, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Good. I imagine you should be pretty happy after your performance over the last few days. 101 runs with a bat, and then a few wickets as well with the ball.
Yeah, it was just one of those games where everything, well, not everything, but most of the things I did sort of seemed to go to plan, really. It was it was nice, obviously, to get a few runs. I think the pitch was quite flat, even though they put us into bat on day one. I think they bowled pretty poorly at us. It was nice to get some runs. Can't really complain about that, to be honest.
And I imagine after setting such a decent total, 401, like I just said to Callum, the rest of the game sort of fell into place. And I imagine that by the looks of the scorecard, the pitch possibly seemed to deteriorate a bit as well, seemed to turn, especially with yourself picking up 4 wickets and Rob Sayre 3 as well.
Yeah, I think 400 is a pretty imposing total, especially as we were, as I say, put into bat first. The pitch did get slightly worse. It stayed pretty consistent whole way through. It was quite bouncy, but then, as you say, last innings it started to turn. Myself and Rob, yeah, managed to pick up a few wickets.
And in terms of the league table now, the Unicorns Championship Eastern Division, Norfolk top with 100 points, Staffordshire second with 90, yourselves in third, as Callum just said, 74 points. Pretty much, I'm not too keen on working out the maths in case of bonus points I get it wrong, but I'm pretty sure you have secured your top five spot now for next season. What does that mean for Cambridgeshire?
Yeah, I think that's about right. I think, as I say, our chats after the game was pretty much saying we have basically secured Division One. I think that's a good effort from us this season. We've played some good cricket at times. And sort of getting into Division One next year was definitely the aim for the season. So I think we can take that off and then try and go again next year and probably push for the title if we can.
Yeah, and how important is it for Cambridgeshire to be playing the top division of Red Bull cricket?
Definitely, yeah. So it's... It's something we all want to play. We all want to play against the best teams, against the best bowlers, best batsmen. It means a lot for us as a county to be in that Division One and to be in those big games.
And for yourself, obviously, as the season draws to a close now, Josh, first season for Cambridgeshire, both with the White Ball and Red Bull, you must be pretty happy with how it's gone as a whole.
Yeah, so as a first season, it's not been too badly. I've been a little bit frustrated. I haven't been able to play too many games, but... So I think I needed that one game, just like the one gone by, to really prove myself with bat and ball that I deserve to be in the team. And hopefully I've now done that. So, yeah, it's been okay.
Yeah, well, you've certainly done your chances. No harm whatsoever over the last few days. 101 to your name and 4 wickets as well. That's the easy bit out of the way. Josh, are you ready to be quizzed on your cricketing knowledge?
Yeah, I am. As I said, I'm not the best at my cricketing knowledge, but I've Googled a few cricket-related facts just before coming on this, so hopefully it won't be too bad.
Nice. Well, make sure as well, you're a bit late now anyway, but if you've kept up to date with the latest cricket scores over the last few days, you should be in good hands as well. But like okay. I've said to most guests, there isn't really much competition to beat. 4 guys are in the top 4. Danny, Sam Rippington, James Williams, and last week's Jamie Seabrook. He got 12, so more than 12, Josh, and you're in the top 4 and you come back at the end of the season.
Okay, right, we'll aim for that then.
So firstly, I'm going to give you 1 minute to answer as many questions as you can and get as many points as you can, and then we'll move on to a top 10 list and you'll have a chance to double that score for each correct answer when you get it right. You have to then double your score and continue. You can declare also and... But also, if you get an answer wrong, you can go bust. So be very warned, as a lot of people have this season.
Right, okay.
All understood? All good?
Yep.
Nice. Well, I'm going to start the minute on the stopwatch. Callum, are you ready to count how many?
Yes, mate, yep.
You ready? Right, so your first question, your time starts when I ask your first question, Josh. Your time starts now. Colin Ackerman took 7 for 18 for Leicestershire against Birmingham the other week to set up a new world record for figures in a T20 match. Who did he overtake?
We've got no idea.
Aral Sapaya. Who took match figures of 14 for 135 for Sussex against Middlesex in yesterday's County Championship?
Robinson.
Correct. How tall is a set of cricket stumps?
I don't know.
71 centimetres, 28 inches. Which current Australian player is nicknamed Gary?
Nathan Lyon.
Correct. Who scored an unbeaten double ton in the County Championship Division 1 this afternoon?
Ollie Pope.
Correct. How many runs has Josh Smith scored for Cambridgeshire in all formats this season?
Oh, God.
Closest to the nearest 50.
230.
Oh, 227, correct, yeah. Which ground did Devon Malcolm take 9 wickets in 1994 test innings?
Trent Bridge.
It was the Oval. And who top scored in the second Ashes test between England and Australia?
It was Ben Stokes.
Correct. How many does that count?
That is 5.
Happy with that, Josh?
Yeah, it was okay.
Good, yeah. So just to be clear, 3 answers gets you into the top 4 and ahead of Jamie Seabrook. He was just keen on only beating his brother, though, so I'm not sure he's too concerned. But your top 10 this week is most Ashes catches, excluding wicketkeepers, of players to have played in the 21st century. So, of course, Joe Denley took an absolute worldie in the second test for England against Australia. So we've kept with that theme. And the most Ashes catches, excluding wicketkeepers, of players to have played in the 21st century. They don't have to have played their whole career in the 21st century. Just one game which would get them into the criteria. So they could have played on the 1st of January in the year 2000 and that would fit them in. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So whenever you're ready, give me your first answer. And like I said, you can declare. And if you get one wrong, you lose all your points.
Okay.
So your first answer.
Ricky Ponting.
That is correct. He's 97 to 2010 with 41 catches. Second on the list.
Paul Collingwood.
Paul Collingwood. Oh.
Damn it.
yeah, Callum?
It's all gone wrong.
I didn't see him on the list, actually, for quite a while. I don't know. Maybe he just didn't play too many. I'm trying to think when he retired, was it?
He probably didn't feel in the slips enough.
No.
Thinking about it, he'd probably back a point for the start, wasn't it?
Yeah, Josh, if you had another guess, who would you have gone for?
Marcus Truscothic.
If you had another guess, who would you go for? Well,
that's all right, then. Andrew Strauss. Can I give up?
Yeah, you can. I'll read out the list to you, Josh. Top of the list was Mark Waugh from 91 to 2001 with 43 catches. He said Ricky Ponting, your only correct answer, in second with 41. Alistair Cook in third with 40 catches. Michael Clark in fourth with 33. Ian Bell with 30 in fifth. Shane Warne, the same amount of catches as Ian Bell, 30 from 93 to 2007. Matthew Hayden from 2001 to 2007 picked up 29 catches. Steve Waugh, 1986, 2003, 29 catches. Steve Smith, a man who's featured heavily in these lists over the last couple of weeks, apart from obviously taking wickets, 26 catches. And last on the list was Mark Butcher, 97, 2003, 23 catches. So a surprising name, I think, on the end there. But what do you make of the list, Josh?
When you say it like that, a few of them seem quite obvious now. But I suppose I'm out of the game anyway. But
yeah, well don't worry. You've obviously... only a select few have managed to register scores this season, but a good effort in the one-minute round nonetheless, but unfortunately just stumbled at the top 10. But thanks going on, Josh, and all
thank
the best for the
for
rest of the
on.
Season.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Josh. Josh Smith there of Cambridgeshire County Cricket Club, also plays his club cricket for Peterborough. Another one fails, Callum.
He was good in the one-minute round, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Very good.
Starting to think this might be a bit tricky, this.
I think catches maybe. I think that was a bit tricky, actually, in comparison to some of the others, but okay. He gave a good effort, wasn't it?
Sorry, Josh. moving on, up next, we'll be speaking to Cambridge Cricket Club captain Lewis Hill, and we'll also be talking about the Ashes at the end of the show. If you want to get your views on England or Australia and Steve Smith and everything that's gone on over the last few days, you can do 07919 070490 is the number. Email us studio at cambridge105.co.uk, or you can contact us on social media. FTP Cricket 105 is the place to contact us.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Listening to From the Pavilion here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Myself, Ollie Slack, Callum Guest and Nick Griggs in the studio. Trying to get hold of Cambridge Cricket Club captain Lewis Hill. Not answering the phone at the minute, but we'll see if we can get him later on. We'll move on to the national debate then and talk about England and Australia. Of course, the Ashes is getting underway tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm right. Get my dates in order. And, of course, the last test finished not so long ago either, and it ended in a draw in the end. Australia still lead the series 1-0. This next test, Callum, Nick, is really a must win if there ever was one for England.
Yeah, it's massive, isn't it? I think there's been a bit of a change of... there's a lot more positive energy going around after that test match. Obviously, we drew it, which was fantastic, but the fact that Steve Smith is now unavailable for the next one, and obviously the spell that Jofra is bowling, he's kind of struck a bit of fear into Australia, which is good to see.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that the Steve Smith conundrum. Obviously, protocols in most sports about concussion, and I don't think there was any chance of him playing in this next one. Is there... it's difficult to say. I mean, obviously he got knocked down by Archer. Even before that, the only real person who was scoring runs consistently for Australia in the series was Smith. And obviously now without him in the side, are England now favourites, or is it just too heavy to swing that way and say that?
Typically, we haven't been too great ahead in it, so if there's actually a place where we probably didn't want to play this next one, it would have been up there, because it kind of can even itself out a little bit. But no, definitely, you would have to say, with the way it's gone in that last, you know, couple of days, that we are favourites. But their middle order seems to be doing okay at the moment. Obviously, Travis Head scored a few runs, and then Labuschagne has come in and done pretty well after getting hit on the head second ball. So yeah, I'd say we still should be favourites.
How do you see it, Nick? How do you see it going? Are you putting England favourites as well?
I'd like to think so, but Australia are a funny side. I mean, they could come back fighting with the lack of Smith. I think they could all regroup. Warner's due a score, and once he gets going, you're never quite sure what's going to happen. And Archer bowled a lot of overs in that last Test match, so you never know. It's only a short gap between the Test matches, isn't it? So it should be interesting to see how they fare.
Yeah, one thing that is worth pointing out as well, or putting to you two guys, is the England batting order. It's been chopped and changed so much over the last few years, and it looks like it might have another makeover. Joe Denley, Rory Burns, Joe Root and Jason Roy, the four men who might be swapping positions around. How do you see it ending up, Callum?
Jason Roy's potentially unavailable after getting hit on the head, so we were saying off air, it wouldn't surprise me if they did actually drop him from the game and potentially bring him in later on in the series and kind of shift him under the radar down the order. But we'll have to wait and see, won't we, tomorrow?
Yeah, let's hear now from Joe Root talking about Jason Roy. Obviously, like he said, he got hit in the head in the nets, but I think it looks as though he might play. Let's hear what Joe has to say about it.
Jason's been monitored quite closely, as you'd expect. He's undergone a couple of concussion tests so far and scored really well. So, as it stands, fully expect him to be fit and ready to play tomorrow.
You were saying, Callum, they might use this as an opportunity to potentially leave him out and then bring him back in at number four to, I guess, smooth it under the carpet.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Strange things have happened, but it wouldn't actually be the worst decision. I think it's common knowledge that's probably going to suit England's chances, and you know his form's going to get better if he comes in down the order, or at least gets given an opportunity down there. Obviously it was said when he first got moved to open, it's not even where he bats for Surrey, so it's a bit of a, you know, stab in the dark if he was going to succeed up there, and it obviously hasn't come off.
Is it fair on Denley though to, I guess, move him up to open? He seems like a rag doll. He's been sort of chucked around in different areas, been asked to be a leg spinner, been asked to be a batsman now, and then probably pushed up to open if he does tomorrow. It doesn't really seem like a fair test when, I guess, other batsmen or other openers have come in and had 7, 8, 9 tests all in a consistent position. Denley's been chucked around a fair bit.
It's one of those, though, isn't it? If he goes up and does well to open, he's going to stay there for a while. Do you know, Rory Burns at the start of the series was under a bit of pressure. He's got 2 scores, and you're probably not going to see him move from the opening spot for another 2 years, even if he did continuously fail, because he's got them 2 scores behind him now. The argument as well is that you'd do anything to play for your country. So if it was a decision between, you know, not playing at all or opening, He's going to open, isn't he? So
And obviously the dynamic of the bowling lineup is interesting now. Jofra Archer coming in and doing so well. When Anderson's back fit, not sure how long it's going to be. They're possibly saying he might be back for the fourth test because of his record and how many wickets he's taken. Is he a bowler who comes straight back in, Nick? And if so, who do you have to leave out?
I think you'd find it very hard to not pick him if he was fully fit. Who would you leave out is a tough question. I mean, watching the last test and the last couple of tests, it seems that Root doesn't seem that inclined to bowl Chris Wokes as much as maybe he could. He'd be the obvious one you'd leave out, but again, it probably weakens the batting a little bit. It means it's a bit of a longer tail. But we still get to see what Jofra can do with the bat. Apparently he can bat a bit.
Apparently, yeah.
We haven't really seen that, obviously, in the World Cup final. He got bowled first ball, and he didn't show much in the test, but he can hold a bat, apparently, so maybe it'd be his chance to have a gig.
Yeah, like we saw a couple of weeks ago, I think, or maybe a week or so ago on Twitter, him getting 100 as well at second 11 cricket. So not only did some poor batsmen have to go out there and face some 90-mile-an-hour rockets, we also got spanked by him all over the park. And then just when they think they get a rest, they have Jimmy Anderson bowling against them this week. So a test of ticker and skill. How do you see it, Callum? Do you think Jimmy will come back in? I guess it's a difficult one, because as well as his record's done so well, if the team's winning, assume they win at Henley, can Jimmy Anderson really come straight back in?
For me, he doesn't play at the moment. There is no way you can fit him in. All I will say is that, having listened to the interviews that Root's given and stuff like that, there's been a few questions from reporters about Chris Wokes and the amount of cricket he's played. So, once again, it wouldn't surprise me if they did try and, you know, shift Wokes out as almost like he's being rested and put in Anderson. It kind of then takes away the whole, well, why are you dropping him? You can almost just use the rest card as the way in. That would be the only way he'd get in the team at the moment, if Wokes was you know, needed to be rested.
Yeah, interesting. We'll see how that develops over the next couple of weeks. Let's just quickly jump back to our EAPL roundup now before we continue the national debate then. And Lewis Hill from Cambridge Cricket Club joins us on the phone. They lost at the weekend to Copdock and Old Ipswich, and unfortunately Copdock scored 183 for 7 off their 50 overs. Cambridge Cricket Club were all out for 138 in 45. Thanks for coming on the show, Lewis.
No worries, thanks for having me.
Yeah, obviously a disappointing loss on the weekend, mate. Where do you feel it was won and lost?
I think it's pretty evident that it was lost in our batting display. To restrict them to 180 or 50 overs was a good effort in the field, especially with them being, I think, about 80 for loss. That loss. So, yeah, pretty disappointing to be. I think we were 32 for 4, so that was probably where we lost the game, to be honest.
Well, this is Callum. I was just going to say that obviously their opening stand of 82 was seems to be a crucial partnership in the game, bearing in mind there wasn't really a partnership that got above 30 in, you know, the rest of the match. Do you reckon that was a big moment as well?
Yeah, I think it was, to be honest. Like you'll know yourself, partnerships and batting are crucial, especially when, you know, chasing what was pretty a small total on that deck in 50 overs. So I think from my point of view and the team point of view, it was probably down to game management from the batting side. So, you know, coming out of the first 10 fall down is not a good place to be when chasing a small target. So we realistically wanted to be, you know, one down maximum out of the first 10, and that would put us in a good place to chase it down, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And obviously this weekend you're back at home against Great Witchingham. With no real threat of relegation, how are you looking to treat the rest of the season? Is it an opportunity? Do you see it as an opportunity for the club and yourselves to, you know, integrate some younger players into the side?
Yeah, so we've got a few new faces in the team this Saturday. So, like you say, it's a good chance to get some of the boys in there who are in the twos and probably on the fringe of the first team into the squad and let them have a go. You know, we definitely want to compete in the remaining games of the season. We want to finish as high as possible. We've always said that. So, we'll still be looking to go and compete and try and win the game. And we'll put fans in place accordingly to do that. But, yeah, we'll be giving some new faces a go at the weekend for sure.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming on, mate. And good luck for Saturday.
No worries. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Lewis. Lewis Hill there talking to us here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Cambridge Cricket Club captain. They lost on the weekend, unfortunately, to Copdock and Old Ipswichian. They are back, take to the field this weekend against Great Witchingham, looking for a win. Moving back to the national debate then, Nick Griggs and Callum Guest in the studio with myself. And let's talk a bit about the news that broke today, or I say broke today. It seems to be old news as far as I'm concerned in terms of the schedule of the cricket season next year. And in terms of the county cricket finals, Trent Bridge will stage its first one-day cup final at the end of next season on Saturday, the 19th of September 2020, following the event's move from Lords. I think we knew this was going to happen anyway. I think they've probably just confirmed the date. They're moving to around September time, usually at the minute in the calendar. The T20 Blast finals day is the last white ball fixture of the season, and the Red Bull County Championship goes on for a little bit longer. It looks at the minute, in terms of this calendar, the One Day Cup final will be the last white ball fixture of the calendar. The T20 Blast final at Edgbaston will be held earlier in the month on the 5th of September, remaining, of course, Edgbaston, which has really made itself, I guess, the home of T20 cricket in England. A strange one, Callum, because it seemed to be, obviously, there's the introduction of the 100, we know that, but the One Day Cup seemed to be really working in this block format in sort of April, May time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, got a few guys, I guess, they had a few county championship matches early on, but they had that block of white ball cricket where, I guess, if they were struggling a bit, they could just, you know, have a few throw-downs and have a whack with a white ball and try and get themselves into form. It seemed to be working. Why do you think they've moved it around to back to September?
I think by all accounts as well, the players at the time come out and said they were enjoying it as well, being in a block format and, you know, playing it all at once kind of thing. It's just the ECB, isn't it, really? The ECB's decision to move it around and shuffle it to suit the 100, really. And obviously they want to push that and have their full focus, you know, the country's full focus on that for them that period. So obviously the 50 over stuff, as you said, is almost going to get relegated as a second tier competition. So it's the easiest one to move, I think.
Nick, do you see as a good move from the ECB to, I guess, it put no beating around the bush, downgrade the 50 over competition after England have just won the Cricket World Cup?
I think they're trying to obviously push the 100. it's a shame. The 50-over format obviously has worked so well, both in the domestic competition and the, obviously for England winning the World Cup. I don't see why they would do it. But again, it's just a cash generation, isn't it, I suppose? So, got to do what they got to do.
Looks that way. Whether it's beneficial to the game is completely another matter. Let's move on to the schedule in terms of England next year. Then they'll host West Indies, Australia, Pakistan and Ireland in men's internationals in 2020. West Indies and Pakistan both visit for three tests as part of the World Test Championship. Pakistan also play three T20 internationals. Australia return as well for white ball matches, three one-day internationals and three T20s as well. It's a lot of fixtures there. I think it's around about 18 or so fixtures, Callum. And I do believe there's a two-week gap as well from about mid-July to the start of August, which I imagine some of those England players will then be playing in the 100. I assume it's that. It's a lot of cricket. Do you think there's too much cricket for England players nowadays?
There is potential in that, but obviously they're a little bit more drawn to pulling out of games for county teams and stuff like that. So, you know, there's not that kind of push that you have to go back and play for your counties, obviously.
Do you think there should be?
I'm not sure there can be with the salaries that they're on from the ECB and the central contracts. That's fantastic for the game and it's fantastic for them. So, and from the county perspective, it's almost one of those, when they're available, you ask them if they can play. And obviously, if they turn around and say no, there's not much you can say. But to be honest, if they're playing too much cricket, it's up to it. It's a personnel decision, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess just looking at it from a perspective in terms of how England have been going over the last few years, and we've definitely seen an upturn in the white ball side, specifically in the one day team, 50 over team. A bit of a downturn as well in the Red Bull team. I imagine, as well as their record speaks pretty decent volume at home, they'd have liked to have a better record away from home. Do you think the fact they don't play Red Bull cricket, Nick, means that it does have an effect on the Test team? Because obviously England came straight off the back of that World Cup into the Ashes, into the Ireland Test, sorry, and into the Ashes. Obviously, it's probably the only time it's going to happen. It's once in 10, 15 years the World Cup comes to England. But there just seemed to be a general lack of county cricket played by England players.
Yeah, I think it showed when Australia had a few warm-up games against county championship teams. I don't know why England couldn't do something similar. I feel like it, for a hosting country to have played less Red Bull cricket than the travelling team doesn't really make sense to me. And I feel that's probably why they lost the first test. I mean, it's a completely different format to the 50-over game. Unfortunately, some of the players do play in both formats, so it must have been quite hard to adapt so quickly. And obviously coming off the high of the World Cup win. To then apply yourselves in another format would have been difficult.
And I've always had the argument as well, it does seem daft that you're not able to tell anyone in the England side's form if they're not playing cricket consistently, I guess, at county level throughout the year, and I guess comparing them to other players, see how they compare as well, because Dominic Sibley scored a hatful of runs this year, but you know, most of the time when county cricketers have come into the England side, they've started off well and then tailed off a little bit. Ollie Pope has scored a double ton today. Let's hope he has a long and decent England career as well. Looking at the county championship, Callum, Essex and Somerset both win today or yesterday for Essex's sake. Mm-hmm. Yorkshire won as well. I think it's a two horse race, but it's hotting up with three games to go.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, your boys are pushing Essex hard at the top. No, it should be a fantastic little run in that. Obviously, 2 points in it, isn't there? Somerset 186, yeah.
Yeah, last game as well for both Somerset and Essex is down at Taunton, so I'm wondering what sort of wicket the grounds will prepare.
I think you know what wicket they're going to prepare.
Simon Harmer in the Essex ranks as well. It will be a very interesting game, that. Fingers crossed Jack Leach is back. I'm sure he will be. Probably no England commitments then. But anyway, that rounds up today's show. Essex and Somerset going for the title in the county championship. Thank you, Callum. Thanks, Nick, for coming on. All the best for the weekend, Nick, when Sawston take on Godolphin in the Invitation Cup final.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you download the podcast as well. Get it on our social media channels. And we'll be back at the same time next week for another edition of From the Pavilion.
Cambridge 105 Radio.